Hi, I'm Andy Puddicombe, the host of a brand new podcast called Radio Headspace. I'd love it if you could join me to start the day in a different way. Whether you like to think of it as a thought for the day, a moment of pause, or some time to reflect, and a reminder that no matter what's going on in our lives, there's comfort to be found in coming together for just a few minutes every weekday morning. You can listen and subscribe to Radio Headspace for free on radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you like to listen.
That segment brought to you by Door Systems, now offering touch-free doors. Call 1-800-THE-DOOR.
670 The Score is the official radio home of Cubs baseball. Listen to all 60 games of the 2020 season here.
It's got a chance! Cubs win!
Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is 670 The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. A radio.com sports station.
This hour is brought to you by Four Winds Casino.
What's your name, son?
Danny Bernstein. I'm from Deerfield, Illinois.
Dan Bernstein on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's enough. Don't care. Not interested.
Insightful sports talk for your workday from one of Chicago's most respected radio professionals.
Professional what?
Professional penis.
You don't know what the hell you're doing!
Dan Bernstein.
The guy is full of hot air.
In a semi-permanent state of flatulence.
Middays on The Score.
We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, and it's a busy Thursday show for you today that includes, but will not be limited to, Len Casper at 9:40, Ryan Dempster at 10, the Midday Midway at 10:40, and then White Sox talk with their Chicago Tribune beat guy, Lamond Pope, who covers the team. He's going to join us at 11, all kinds of surprises and fun along the way as well. 312-644-6767 is our phone number at WSCR The Score. You can email us at Bernstein@670thescore.com, and it's there that you go to listen to us live because we're streaming there at 670thescore.com. Send a text, if you like, to the text zone, which is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. You text the same number you call, 312-644-6767. And when you text, we reply. Message and data rates may apply. Follow along on Twitter as well. That is at Bernstein670. My personal feed is at Dan_Bernstein. Also, you got to download the radio.com app that allows you to stream The Score on your mobile devices and interact with the show and the station on Facebook by liking the 670 The Score page. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Ray Diaz, the executioner, is the man on the board doing all of the many things that he does. So, first of all, let's acknowledge what seems to be happening, certainly on Twitter, where Dan Snyder, the owner of the Washington football team, is a top Twitter trend across the board right now. Let's try to be fair about everything that's happening or not happening right now. As we mentioned yesterday, there has appeared to be a lot of smoke but no fire yet regarding what has been reported by actual verified journalists to be a Washington Post story that is said to drop, that is going to detail some horrible things going on with the Washington football team. That's really all anybody knows, if indeed that's true. Nothing has happened yet today, despite everything building again last night, despite broadcasters with network-affiliated local television stations in the Washington, D.C. area saying that they were hearing about the things that were going to happen. Nothing's happened yet. We don't know. This is a sliding scale of possibility or probability. If and when anything happens, obviously we're going to move things around to try to cover it as carefully and as openly as we possibly can. But until then, we don't know what we don't know. We don't know if, in fact, there is last minute legal wrangling here, because Dan Snyder, as litigious, as famously hyper litigious as he is, it's possible that there could be injunctions and gag orders, etc., at the last minute, and that lawyers are hashing all of this out, and or there's additional fact checking where the Post's own lawyers have to make sure everything is signed off on, so they're protected. Or it's possible nothing happens. It is possible that all of this just gets to a point where everybody's saying, here it is, this is what's happening, this is what I'm hearing, this is what's coming down, and then nothing happens whatsoever. And then it, whatever secrets are there stay buried. So we don't know. I would love to be tell you that, I mean, and believe me, I have called people who are well connected in Washington, and I have asked them what they know, and it still appears that it's a dog chasing its tail at this point. But we had Mike Florio on yesterday, and he even wrote about it this morning at ProFootballTalk.com, wrote about this anticipation for something that was said to exist that has yet to be confirmed by the outlet that is supposedly about to report something. All we know are the facts of the pro personnel department being purged. We know that their longtime radio voice of 16 years resigned quickly, quietly, very unceremoniously, without a word from the team, without a peep from the team. So all I can tell you is, if and when there is something, we're going to make sure to let you know. But everybody is aware of it. Twitter's going absolutely crazy. So if you've been following all of your usual sports follows on Twitter, and it's been amazing to watch what people woke up to, then how they're responding, and everybody's sort of waiting together, and then the meta stories start creeping in of smart people saying, what are we doing here, and what is the responsibility of some of these writers, broadcasters, etc. Because people went on television this week, like, there are live shots right now of local news and local sports news outside of the stadium in Washington just standing there, because everybody was expecting the story. So that is what is absolutely hysterical here, is watching how everyone's acting when there may be absolutely nothing happening other than people trying to connect things together. So with that said, just, I want you to know that we are aware, that we're on it, we're refreshing everything that can be refreshed, and waiting to get what is said to be by so many people a potential massive bombshell of a sports story. So there, with that, I'm fascinated by the ethical dilemma of the NBA snitch line. The NBA bubble snitch line is an am I a bad guy sort of Friday Fung kind of thing about what's the right thing to do. And if somebody is smuggling in a side piece, or even an order of Chipotle, and violating the bubble, and endangering everyone and everything, and endangering the whole fragile house of cards here, what's the right thing to do? So of all people to weigh in on this, of all people, Jazz center Rudy Gobert was talking to reporters yesterday, saying that he wouldn't use the NBA's anonymous tip line.
I don't know if someone's going to use it, but I think sort of vet it. You know, I think it's at the same time, you want to make sure that, you know, people respect the rules. But I don't think the line will really help at that point. You know, I think it's more about respecting each other, and I'll do it as a small community. You know, I think everyone is pretty much educated about the virus at this point, and you know, it's more about respect, and at the same time, you know, you want to make sure you socialize and do all those things, but by still respecting each other's space and try to wear the mask inside, especially when it's crowded.
Come on, man. This is Rudy Gobert, that's patient zero. And that's the guy who was famously making fun of it and the protocols and mocking the protocols and touching the microphone windscreens and touching reporters' phones.
Thank you.
Remember that? That was Rudy Gobert, and he's like, "Yeah, we don't really need an anonymous tip line." Yeah, you kind of do. So when you are thinking about, put yourself in that position and really think, what's your responsibility? Because if you've been reading the coverage of each one of these teams that's coming back, they've all had the talk. They've all had the "don't screw this up," and that's been for the team. Don't screw it up for us, the Blackhawks. Or they didn't say, they used the F, don't F it up. And that's written on the board, and that's what they're saying. Don't be that guy, because they're not in a bubble, and saying, don't go out to a bar, because that's where people are getting sick. You go to the beach, you go to the bar, you go to a restaurant, you get sick. That's what's been happening. That's where the vectors show, and that's what the mayor was saying yesterday, at least as it's been happening here with younger people who have just been throwing caution to the wind. House parties, same thing. But when you're talking about an entire league, everything, all of it, everything that they're doing and how easily that could be undone, then don't you have a responsibility? I mean, wouldn't you? I guess it depends on if you've got a party bus full of hookers that pulls up. I think it's probably different than somebody literally stepping over a line to get a bag of food from a gloved hand, right? Is that different? I mean, because of course, here comes the text. Snitch line sounds like North Korea. Yeah, maybe it's just the existence of it is enough that it works as a deterrent. But I don't want to hear it from Rudy Gobert. I don't want to hear it from that guy. That guy who flouted everything comically to the point where it turns out that he got Donovan Mitchell sick too. And it may be the kind of a rift on the two star players on a team that makes them less effective at basketball. So let's hear a more lighthearted approach to it. And that's Clippers coach Doc Rivers when he was talking to reporters about the anonymous tip line.
I turn in LeBron yesterday. I'm turning in, Pop today. I'm trying to turn all these guys in. I think it's phenomenal. We're going to be the only team left when I'm done with this hotline thing. So, it's funny. I know about it, but I don't think it's a problem at all. I think it's good. Like, we do, this is not some normal thing. COVID, obviously, is not only that you can get sick, but you can get other people sick. And so this is very important for all of us. We want to do our jobs. And so I think having a hotline, I guess that's what they're calling it. I guess that's important.
Yeah, of course it is. And here's what you think. Let's just put yourself in this situation that you're up late at night. You can't sleep because Jimmy Butler's dribbling a basketball in the room above you, which is just, that's hysterical. It's like something you yell at your kids for. And so you look outside and you see a violation and you see somebody walk over to a car, have a conversation with somebody or smuggle in a paramour or however it's done. And you think, I could pick up the phone right now and I probably should pick up the phone right now, but it's my guy. I'm not going to mess up his life. I'm not going to get him in quarantine for 14 days. It's probably fine. And then everything collapses because you didn't pick up the phone. Then you think, and it's all ruined. And the whole thing comes falling down. And everybody has to go home. And or everybody gets sick. Or somebody gets sick and passes it to somebody and somebody dies. You know, we're talking about when you start extrapolating some of this stuff to literal life and death. And then you think, and the pejorative term, obviously, and I'm affecting the conversation when I use the term snitch line, because it sounds like you break the omerta, you don't want to be a rat. But it's in the best interest of everyone to think that Big Brother is always watching. And even though Big Brother kind of is always watching now with everything on camera and everybody carrying cameras and everything being documented, and in some ways it can be protective, that the idea of that, to watch out for everyone, it's easier to do with a team. It's easier to do when everybody's wearing the same color jersey, when everyone has bulls across the chest, in the words of Jim Boylan. And we're going to get to him in just a moment. I apologize, but we have to. We must do our civic duty and address that. And we will. I'm always here for you in that regard. But when these guys are on opposite teams, I know they're all NBA brethren, and we know how close-knit the NBA brotherhood is and that union can be. Even so, it's harder to do outside of their own actual team. And Doc Rivers was kidding around a little bit, but you really have to think. You really have to think, what would you do and what should you do? And I think the right thing, no matter what, even if it's your guy, even if that's your dude that you see in violation of this somehow, I think you owe it to everyone involved, because we are talking about an uncontrolled viral outbreak that is killing 130,000 people in this country alone and is killing more and more every day and is absolutely out of control because people aren't controlling it. I just saw the Georgia governor, he just passed a law saying that local local officials, mayors, et cetera, county commissioners, et cetera, are not allowed to require masks in their jurisdictions. And I'm thinking, what? Like, it's one thing for a governor to not do it. It's another thing for a governor to not let anybody do it, despite what the experts say. I mean, that is just, that's criminal. I mean, the depth of evil in something like that. And to, I don't know what the point is and what the accomplishment is, other than just trying to make people unwell or trying to get people sick or killed. That doesn't make any sense to me. But as this rages around us, if you have an opportunity to do the right thing in that regard, I think even in the NBA, even as immortal as those guys can feel, as bulletproof as they can think they are, if we keep remembering, you know, it's not about me, it's not about you, it's about everybody, and there is an immediate public health responsibility and an immediate recourse there, I would hope that anybody in that bubble, they can, you know, Rudy Gobert can say what he says, and
I think Dr. Rivers,
Doc Rivers can joke about it as much as he wants, but this is anything but funny. And the last thing you want to be is the reason why things got bad, or the reason why other people, perhaps outside the bubble, get sick because of what goes on inside the bubble. Meanwhile, Jim Boylan is not only the Bulls head coach, he is confidently the Bulls head coach, and talking about his relationship with his new bosses. And I don't know what the hell is going on here, but we're gonna hear from him, from the Bulls head coach. If they're gonna start the loser bubble in Chicago or not, we don't know. It remains to be seen. But I'm standing by this, that if the Bulls hired Arturis Karnišević and Mark Eversley, and they think that Jim Boylan is the right guy to run their team, they have squandered any initial trust that has been afforded them, certainly from this position. 312-644-6767. Got a lot of baseball talk coming your way as well, and keeping one very wary eye on what is going on with the uncomfortable silence and tension surrounding the Washington football team right now. So we'll keep you close on that, as if we hear anything about the story that is said to be imminent. Maybe, may not be. We don't know. We're watching. You got the score.
Dan McNeil here from the Mack and Parkin Show. Afternoons 2 to 6 on the score. Cubs and White Sox fans, baseball is back in Chicago, so keep it here on the score. We will be discussing this shortened season, plus all the new rules, changes, and more on the Mack and Parkin Show. It's afternoons 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is JR with a Radio.com Sports Minute. America's team. What do you think when you hear that? Do you roll your eyes about a team that hasn't won a Super Bowl since 1995? Or do you beam with pride for your Dallas Cowboys? Talking about the Cowboys elicits split opinions just as much as their starting quarterback, Dak Prescott. We know Dak and the Cowboys didn't agree to a long-term deal, and he'll play on a $31 million franchise tag, if we even get football. I commend him for standing his ground in order to max out his earnings and keep flexibility to earn even more money. For a league that will cut you quicker than they'll pay you, a fourth-round pick like Dak, who's ascended into one of the NFL's most reliable quarterbacks, he's deserving of whatever long-term payday he eventually receives. I mean, Dak is no different than any of us. Don't you want financial security now and the ability to make more later? Dak is no Pat Mahomes. No one is. But folks need to give him a break. I'm JR from the JR Sport Brief.
Hey, let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
To take this station with you wherever you go, download the radio.com app today and listen to this station and over 300 other stations. With the Radio.com app, you can favorite your top stations for easy access and receive alerts with breaking news, contest opportunities, and more. To favorite a station, just click on the heart icon in the upper left-hand corner of your favorite station's logo. Go to your app store or Radio.com/download and start listening today. Radio.com.
Thanks for streaming The Score. Chicago Sports Radio 670.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon.
Cubs Radio play-by-play legend Pat Hughes.
Win or lose, there is always attention. There is always a great media presence. And there are always fans. There's just, it's never easy, but it's never boring. Not one bit. I tell people also, you have to learn to operate independently from the hysteria that is Cubs baseball. I think a lot of fans out there, Dan, when the Cubs win two or three in a row, it's, we're going all the way. Yep. And those same fans, when the team loses three or four in a row, well, wait till next year. And you just can't live that way if you are part of what we are, which is broadcasting and covering the team pitch by pitch, day by day, season by season.
Dan Bernstein, weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a Radio.com sports station.
Thanks for streaming The Score.
McNeil and Parkins. Afternoons 2 to 6 on The Score.
Ex-Cub and Sosa teammate Mickey Morandini.
There were several things. I mean, the Kerry Wood performance, 20 strikeouts, that's probably, you know, right up there at the top. And just grinding down the last month, you know, we were in a pennant race. It was back and forth. You know, I had never been in a pennant race, obviously, with the Cubs before. It was incredible the way, you know, we had support from the fans. And even on the road, you know, we usually outnumbered the fans on the road. And then obviously, you know, the Brant Brown game, I always got to talk about it. I hate to, but the drop in left field that almost cost us a game or cost us a playoff spot, and the game against the Giants, you know, it's just a play-in game. And then obviously the thing, you know, we watched last night, the Sosa-McGuire battle. It was so much fun to be a part of that. I can remember it like it was yesterday.
Listen to McNeil and Parkins on your ride home 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a Radio.com sports station.
The National Constitution Center serves as America's leading platform for constitutional education and debate. Through its museum in historic Philadelphia, just steps from where the Constitution was signed, and its online interactive Constitution, the center brings together people of all ages and perspectives to learn about, debate, and celebrate the greatest vision of human freedom in history, the U.S. Constitution. For podcasts, live programs, constitutional news, and educational resources, visit constitutioncenter.org.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
We have a young team. You know, we were 23 and a half years old. We had an injury-laden season, you know, so we need to play. We need to compete. We played very hard. We were a hard-playing team. But we want to keep that edge, right, yeah, going into next year. And it's hard to do that without the competition part of it. So, you know, we're hoping we can have some of that. We're not in the bubble. It's disappointing. But we still got a lot of work to do, and we're going to do the best we can.
Hi. WGN-TV tracked down Jim Boylan, and he says they need to play. They do need to play, but they need to play with a different coach in charge. If they say that they talked to everybody and that Zach LaVine has said his piece and that everybody else has discussed, and these guys, they're deliberate and they're smart and they know basketball and they want to be player focused, and they're going to bring back, they're going to keep Jim Boylan, who would never ever be hired by any other team ever. You got to tell me this isn't happening. Somebody, our long national nightmare has to end at some point. Jim Boylan was asked directly how comfortable he is with his new bosses.
Well, I've got a new vice president, a new general manager. the relationship has gone really well. We communicate every day. I think they understand where we were, what we're trying to get to. They've been very supportive and collaborative. You know, it's a process to build this team into what it can be. I just like the fact that we have a relationship already. You know, it's never perfect, Jack. You know, nothing's perfect, right? And you just work at it, and you tell the truth, and you get your guys to play hard, and that's what we're trying to do.
I'm going to go downstairs and microwave my head. I think that's what I have to do right now. And the fact that you've got 1987 in the background there. My best friend Harry has a brother Larry in 5 days from now. I actually saw him live. Actually, Cameron Indoor Stadium. That's a Young MC, right? Actually went to a Young MC concert. He opened for UB40. Those were the days. Yep. Wow. Collaborative. What is he doing here? What are we doing? Why and how is he still the head coach of the Bulls when there's been a regime change? They brought in actual smart people and they said all the right things. We heard on these airwaves and elsewhere, we heard Arturas Karnišovas and Mark Eversley talk about how they want to shape this team and how they want to be player focused and what the right way is to, then they're going to talk to the player. What are we doing here? It can't be because of money, right? It can't. And I know that the ownership of the Bulls / White Sox is hemorrhaging money right now, but come on. Why are we still hearing Jim Boylan's voice? Why is he still the head coach of the Chicago Bulls? And if they get back and actually play some games here, why haven't they moved on to whatever the next thing is going to be? This is making me absolutely crazy. So regarding that money issue, I don't know if you saw in the USA Today, Bob Nightingale got in touch with Jerry Reinsdorf, and he was talking about how much money the White Sox are losing, how much money the Bulls are losing right now. So Casey Johnson of NBC Sports Chicago was on with David Haw and Zach Zaidman this morning on the Mully and Haw show. So they asked him if these recent comments by Jerry Reinsdorf to USA Today indicate concern about what their expenses are going to be going forward, and if that has anything to do with the fact that Jim Boylan's still here.
All you can do is go by what I've reported, what other people have reported. That's that Arturas has full autonomy to make any decision he wants on the basketball front. And to this point, you know, the moves have borne that out. I mean, they fired Gar with 2 years left on his deal. They're paying him. You know, they've made significant hires that Arturas wanted to make initially in Pat Conley and J.J. Polk. They've kept a large amount of people on staff that were already under contract. He hasn't fired them. They brought back an assistant coach who faced an option decision in Nate Lenzer, albeit, you know, one who probably doesn't make a huge sum of money, but, you know, they saw the value in his role and picked up his option. So, you know, if you just go by that and what I and other people have reported, that Arturas is going to have the basketball autonomy to do what he sees fit, you're going to have to say no. Now, that said, you can't live in a vacuum. I mean, you know, as Jerry said in the interview, and I've actually written the similar words in a mailbag, it's a bad business model when you have live sports with no fans. I mean, you have no income coming in. So that's not an ideal business model. I do think the fact that the NBA got 75% of the season in, as he mentioned, you know, balances it a little bit out on the Bulls' end. It's unknown at this point what the 2021 season is going to look like, what it's going to start, if fans are going to be allowed, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, there's a lot of different things to weigh. But, look, the Bulls have made money for a long time. Money has not driven previous coaching decisions. I mean, there's this misnomer that the Bulls don't pay coaches not to work for them. Well, I've covered three that they've paid to go away: Scott Skiles, Tom Thibodeau, and Fred Hoiberg. So, you know, just got to see how it plays out. What's been reported all along is that, you know, Arturas is going to take his time on this decision and wants to see Jim in action. So I think as they wait to see what happens with the second bubble, that's an element to it. So, you know, he's under contract. There's no timeline for the start of 2021 season yet. So you're not going to see, you know, a unilateral decision on Jim until Arturas gets to know him and watches him in action. I think all that stuff is independent of the financial situation.
What do you need to see in action? Good God, man. You know how much tape is out there? What the hell do you need to see? How smart can these guys be if they're like, you know, I'm still not sure. We're still under review on this. We still have to sit down and work with him. Watch all of last year's game tape. Watch his players laughing at him. Listen to what's being said. Listen to the post-game interviews. Good God. Now I need to make up my own mind. What do you need to know or see that could possibly convince you that this is the right guy to lead your team? They had a mutiny, for God's sake. They openly ignore him during timeouts. They walk right past him. They don't listen to him. They roll their eyes when he's calling a timeout down 20 with 4 seconds left. God, it's exasperating. I understand that they're going to be deliberate and professional and take their time. This is not a tough call. It makes me question everything about him. I know they don't have to do anything yet, but every day that he's here and he says they're working together. You're wasting your time. You're all wasting your time. Stop wasting your time. Rudy says my favorite Boylan quote there is, "We were a hard playing team, but we want to keep that edge going into next year." What is this edge? Your players don't listen to you and you can't wait to blow a third quarter lead. Yeah, we tracked it with all the gamblers looking at the money line. Anytime the Bulls were up 8 in the third quarter, you could make a mint pounding the other team. Just absolutely grabbing that. You know, our friend Rick Camp had a cottage industry in that. You know, just making enough money to keep his air fryer filled by just pounding that thing. I mean, Bulls up 6 third, Bulls up 8 third, bang. It was almost algorithmic to be able to do that. The 847 says it has to be that Paxson and Reinsdorf aren't allowing AK genuine autonomy. There is no other reasonable explanation. I don't want to think that. I don't know what to think. All I know is I'm terrified of it. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Even if, okay, you've decided that it's Adrian Griffin or you've decided it's Ime Udoka or whoever their guy is, and you just can't make the move yet, but he's still apparently working in some capacity as the head coach of the Bulls. Why? How is that getting you closer to a championship? Why not just install a placeholder that's your representative? That's starting to do the new things that you want to do to accomplish everything you said you're going to accomplish. Player-centric. Being smart. Doing things the way other NBA teams do them. Having an actual analytics department, perhaps, instead of something you just call an analytics department. Having a representative NBA staff, having an understanding of how you can work your lineups together to get everybody the ball. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It's just this is causing me no end of frustration, and I think I'm getting hives, and I'm having like some sort of Jim Boylan-caused autoimmune condition. I don't know what's going on. I'm completely at wit's end with this. He's still here.
That's the growth play.
He's still here. It's just like this is. I don't know what. How do you wake up every day, and you run the Bulls? You are in charge of the Bulls, and you've seen everything that's happened. This is all publicly available. Unless I'm living in some sort of basketball world where I'm the only one that watched the Bulls last year. I'm the only one that saw what happened, or actually could, you know, Google search anything involving Boylan and his players and timeouts. And my God, these post games, these incredibly uncomfortable post game interviews. Go to any of his post games, where he's like, "Well, no one told me I had to win." What? Remember we said that? I nobody said that I had. Are you concerned about your record? No, that wasn't really a part of it. Nobody said that my record had anything to do with it. Oh, yeah, okay, you don't have to win. They said you're supposed to make the playoffs last year. And then by the end of the year, nobody told me I was supposed to win.
I'm not worried about my personal record or my win-loss record. I've been asked to establish a style of play, to have a disciplined approach, and develop a young group of guys. And in my opinion, we are doing that. Nobody in this organization said to me, you got to win this many games. Nobody said to me, hey, we're going to talk about wins and losses all year. Not one time have they said that to me. That doesn't mean we don't want to win. Joe, it doesn't mean we're not trying to win, but nobody said that to me.
Would you be bothered then if at the end of the season they come back to you and say, hey Jim, we just didn't have enough wins, so we have to do something? I mean, if they come double back and use that against you, would that be surprising to you since that hasn't been emphasized?
Yes, it would. I don't foresee that happening.
The Joe Cowley response there, right? the deadpan Cowley in there is really just perfect. But he's not worried about how many games he wins. Michael Reinsdorf said on the Score, on the Mully and Haw show, that they expect to compete for a playoff spot, that they expect to be competitive, that they're young and talented and their core is coming together, and they sucked and they couldn't hold a lead, and they had players looking at each other not knowing where the ball is supposed to go. Other than that, everything great. Oh, that was terrific. And all the odd timeouts late, and you're taking guys out of the game. You got a player who's injured and you don't take him out, so the other coach has to call a timeout to get your injured player off the floor. I mean, what are you doing? It's like, yes, I would be surprised if they told me I didn't win enough games. They told you to make the playoffs. You didn't make the playoffs. You didn't even come close. You're 7 games out of a playoff spot. You couldn't hold a damn lead. And your players are laughing at you, but everything's fine. I don't know. Okay. This is there. I guess I needed that, and somehow everything's just kind of upside down in the Bulls world. And of course the texters are like, relax, you're wasting energy on this. No, I'm not. This is you if you don't want to waste energy on it, that's fine. To me, it's not wasted energy because I'm the one who's out here doing it for everybody. So I'm worrying about it so you don't have to. And when we come back, Len Casper is going to tell us about his experience over the last couple days calling some Cubs baseball games. He comes your way next on The Score.
Start your day with Chicago's Sports Morning Show, Mully and Haw, live at 5, covering the stories that matter to Chicago sports fans.
Bears,
Cubs,
Sox,
Bulls,
Blackhawks.
They're live and they're local. Mully and Haw, mornings 5 to 9, only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
The previous segment was brought to you by Basement Water Stoppers. Rain is in the forecast. Avoid another wet basement. Call Basement Water Stoppers today to stop your water problems tomorrow. With over 60 years of experience, you'll be glad you called Basement Water Stoppers at 888-426-3074 for your free professional evaluation. 888-426-3074.
This isn't a grilled cheese I'm making. It's a melty masterpiece that deserves a kitchen worthy of greatness.
Looks like my porch is full of packages again. It also looks like my compulsive buying needs to change to compulsive saving.
As I sit here on this couch, I decided to make some changes, starting with this couch.
I'd love to be looking out my window at a beautiful backyard instead of a brick wall. Time for a new house.
Whatever your passion, U.S. Bank can help turn it into your next pursuit. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to Nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Gear up for all your favorite teams and sports with Radio.com. The biggest sports stations in America talk about the NFL, MLB, NHL, and NBA. Get updates on when games will start
and how your team stacks up.
Find Jim Rome, Tiki and Tierney, and more of the top personalities in sports on CBS Sports Radio.
And you'll love Radio.com sports originals
like Mike's On with Francesa, Swings and Misses,
and You Better You Bet,
with the best bets on the biggest matchups every weekday. Gear up with all the shows and podcasts
on Radio.com or the Radio.com app.
Opinions about sports? Everybody's got them. Mike Francesa's opinions? They're pretty strong.
Sometimes, folks, I watch these games, I wonder where the coaches leave their brains.
If it's happening in sports, Mike's got an opinion on it.
It's only been going on in baseball for 70 years.
Catch Mike's On with Francesa. Weekdays from 5 to 6:30 p.m. Eastern on the free radio.com app. Just search Mike.
Let's be honest. This is protect my image, throw somebody else to the alligators before they eat me.
Mike's On. Radio.com.
Right now, you're streaming The Score.
Chicago's original and number one sports station. And, of course, the official radio home of the Chicago Cubs.
Hey, Cubs fans, Pat Hughes here.
And Ron Coomer.
670 The Score is where you want to be to hear every exciting play of Cubs baseball.
We'll deliver all the excitement and action of every Cubs game.
The pitch to Anthony. Swung on, deep right field. Cubs are going to win the ball game.
Rizzo drives one in the air to deep right field. This ball's got a chance. Gone.
3-2, wrapped on the ground left side. Baez gloves it, spins, throws, gets him. Baez drives one in the air, deep left field. It's got a chance. Javi Baez with a game-winning home run.
A line drive rocket on a hanging breaking ball by Baez. And when the Cubs aren't playing, you can count on The Score team to bring you the hottest Cubs talk anywhere.
Listen to every Cubs game right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Chicago's official radio home of the Cubs.
A radio.com sports station.
Did you know that the equivalent of a garbage truck's worth of plastic is dumped in the ocean every minute? 17.6 billion pounds every year. Seabirds are dying after mistakenly eating it. I'm actor Sam Waterston, and I don't want to pollute our oceans every time I buy my groceries, go out to eat, or purchase a beverage. You deserve a plastic-free choice. Join the campaign. Go to oceana.org/plastics today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Here it comes. Now drive to left. Grand slam time.
Len Casper.
That's win.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, baby.
TV voice of the Cubs.
Hey, one other question about Chewbacca.
Yeah.
Does he still qualify for the Wookiee of the Year?
Slightly above average bassist.
Slap at the bass.
Len Casper.
Cubs win.
On The Score.
First and third, one away. Amaya runs. Hap drives it the other way, and it will go. A three-run homer for Ian Hap, and it's now 3-1 for the blue team.
Well, a real nice piece of hitting here by Ian Hap. He knows what Chatwood's trying to accomplish out there, running that sinker away, hoping he's looking to pull and maybe roll over on one, but Hap just stays right with it and rides it out of here. It's kind of two-seamer, moving down and away. Tries to pull it. Could bounce into a double play, so he shoots it the other way. Wind probably helping a little bit. And more hokey pokey.
Victor Caratini takes low for a ball. Boy, if you have a foot fetish, this is going to be your year. One ball, no strikes. Chatwood's pitch is tapped foul. No need to comment. We'll just let that sit. It was coming out of my mouth at some point, so might as well do it during an intra-squad game.
I thought I was being edgy referencing the hokey pokey.
And that's what it's all about. Len Casper and Ginger Chase on the Marquee Network yesterday. I was just, on the couch. I was excited for Ian because I just talked to Ian just shortly before the game, and he was talking about finding barrels, and that's usually how we let him go. So, go find those barrels, and indeed he did. And he knocked one out of the net. I said, wait, what? And I rewound it, and I heard what I thought I heard. Len Casper is on Twitter, at Len Casper. He's on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Yeah, this is, why not? If it's an intra-squad game, that's the time to do it. Although, I want more. I mean, really, if you want to just do every possible kink that's out there, feel free to make reference to it throughout the year, Len.
Yeah, I just... when you see this bizarre celebration thing, first of all, I would be on the ground. Like, there's no chance, right? These guys are trying this foot tap thing. I there's no chance I could keep my balance. So that was my first thought. And then I had that other line in my head, and I thought,
I can't not do it. You know what I mean? Like, there's just certain moments where the only question in your brain is how am I going to say it, not if.
Right? Yeah, no. I've struggled with that line and always generally been on the wrong side of it for a long time because your filter is a lot healthier and stronger than mine, I think. But you're right about the potential for injury or for a fail. You know, that's my concern is if the ground is unstable. I mean, you could have one of these really stupid injuries from that.
Yeah, well, I guess that's the least of our concerns moving forward. My biggest concern right now, and we still have a little over a week to figure it out, is when the tests come back, what is the setup? What are the guidelines? Is it a Major League Baseball mandate that if all the tests are not back and game time is 45 minutes from now, are you allowed to play? You know, most of the games are going to be at night, which I think is helpful. But, Dan, if we've got a 1:20 first pitch on a Sunday, and that's the day the tests come back, and the Cubs are playing the Brewers, and seven players from each team still waiting for their test results to come back, will they be able to participate? And are those decisions up to the individual teams? If that's the case, You trust people to make the right decisions, but in the heat of competition, I don't know the answer to that, especially as we get deeper into the season. So let's figure that one out, I think, and move from there, because that's nuanced. And, you know, I don't think you assume there's a positive test, but can you let four guys go play without knowing?
And then what autonomy does an individual player have presented with that information is the next thought. That even if the team says this is our policy, you have to allow for someone to say, wait a second, with all of these mental gymnastics that I went through in calculating my decision to opt in, if now there are seven players out there on the field with whom I may be interacting who are not for certain most recently tested negative, I'm not playing this game. You know, then there's that whole cascading after effect.
There's the testing question, and then, you know, what I've experienced going to the ballpark, and, you know, I've been there a lot, and so I feel like I'm now in a routine. We do not get tested. We get temperature checks, right? So the other question is for the Tier 1 and Tier 2 people who are, you know, in the clubhouse, on the field, is the symptomatic part of this, right? If a player has a scratchy throat, it happens to announcers all the time, right? You have a long day at the office. You maybe have a couple of pops at night. You wake up in the morning and go, I don't feel great. Is it just that you had too much to drink? Is it, sign of some sort of illness? Is a scratchy throat enough to keep a starting pitcher from pitching? I don't know the answer. And if you're asking guys to self-report, I think human nature takes over again. Certain people may disclose every little issue they're having. Other people may say, nope, I'm good. I'm fine. Temperature's good. Test negative. I'm good. Those are the gray areas that I think are going to be really tricky as we move ahead.
It's also Anthony Rizzo's point where if the testing isn't as frequent as it needs to be, he thinks that we could be at a precipice of some more opt-outs because so much of the opt-in was predicated on having regular, successful, reliable testing.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. I do think guys are leaving open all possibilities here. I suppose someone who's opted out could try to opt back in. That might be difficult to do, especially for a pitcher, because there just isn't enough time. But let's say a guy has opted out on a team that starts the year 16-1, and you feel like you're the missing piece to the championship puzzle. Or on the flip side, you're on a team that you thought would be really good, and all of a sudden, you know, you're 8-26. And you've got all the money in the bank you need. Your family misses you. Do you decide to opt out just because what's the point? All of these things are going to be on the table. I think they will all be storylines that we'll have to follow. And then there's baseball to be played. In terms of the quality of baseball, what I witnessed over a couple of days of intra-squad games was aside from the fact there were no fans in the ballpark and that a few players had masks on, everything else looked and felt the same to me. We very quickly kind of get back to what we know, and I thought the style of play and the pitching and the hitting and the fielding, all of it looked like a big league game, and that was heartening to me because I didn't know what it would look and feel like.
I agree, and I liked the ball coming out of Chatwood's hand yesterday, although I often do. I love his stuff, and it's hard if you're just scouting the traits and scouting some of these. He throws some individually filthy pitches. It's just a matter of the entire package, of being able to have all of those pitches competitive and under control in a way that adds up to making sense and being effective. But if you just, you know, snapshot by snapshot, you would think that he's got ace stuff.
That's the adjective, competitive, because, you know, certain guys walk people, but they don't miss by a lot. A lot of his misses are by a lot, and they are what you would call non-competitive pitches. He'll have a handful every start. He just gets out of whack, and then you hope he gets back into whack and then gets that ground ball double play, which he's been pretty good at doing. And as I said during the game yesterday, you know, my biggest accolade for him is really not anything about the way he pitches. It's just the way he goes about his business. He had a brutal 2018. He basically walked a batter per inning. It was, what was it, 93 walks in 98 innings. I mean, it was a tough watch. And I never, ever saw him snap at a media person. I never saw him kind of give off the vibe of, don't come near me. He didn't look happy, but I think his teammates really respected how he was able to grind his way through it without making any excuses at all. He just kept saying, yep, I've been bad. I got to be better. Got to be better. And last year he was a lot better, and I think he earned a ton of respect in the organization.
What's your level of concern over Anthony Rizzo's ongoing back problems?
I think because it's something he's dealt with a lot over his career, that makes me feel a little better that he knows how to manage it. And I would even step out on a limb here and say if the Cubs were playing, you know, tomorrow, he might even go. He may sit out a couple games if this lingers a bit just to make sure it's not a 10 to 15 day thing. But, you know, he's gone through it so many times, two or three times a year, it feels like. That he knows himself as well as anybody, and you'd hope the weight loss would help a little bit, but it's not always the case. You know, a back issue is a back issue. I anticipate he'll be ready to go next Friday until I hear otherwise.
My eyebrows raised when I saw Steven Souza go take off and steal a base. You know, this guy is coming off of a missed full year because of one of those fluky injuries we talked about, but he can move better than I remembered. It's a more well-rounded, kind of toolsy guy than I thought he was.
Yep, and he's a key guy for me because if you look at the offense in the second half in particular, with Nicholas Castellanos as that big-time, you know, gap-hitting right-handed force, he's now a Cincinnati Red. And Steven Souza Jr. was essentially brought in to replace him. He can play all three spots in the outfield. He'll be on the corners mostly. I think you'll see him DH a fair amount. That's the other kind of interesting question. I'm guessing Wilson Contreras will be your opening day DH because Victor Caratini is going to be Yu Darvish's personal catcher. That's assuming Darvish is the opening day starter. Kyle Hendricks, I suppose, based on what he's done in camp, could hedge him out. So, I think they'll move that spot around a little bit, and Souza has a lot to prove. A lot of injuries the last 2 years, did not even play last season. So, yeah, I'm intrigued by him, and seems like a really good guy. Made a nice diving catch yesterday and kind of waved to the no fans in the ballpark. That was fun.
I didn't know that I would need the piped-in fan noise, but I do. as a viewer, it really makes it more comfortable for me. It wouldn't be the right vibe without it, even though I like, intellectually, I like the idea of hearing everything the players say, because I just think that'd be cool. I think we'd end up learning a whole lot more about the game to be privy to some of this stuff, just because it's audible. Whether or not Marquee Network would want to bring it to us in everything in full like that, I don't know. But it sounded right. It feels right. And I know this is going to be an ongoing effort to make sure everything that the presentation does fit some of those differing comfort levels. How is it for you?
Yeah. So at the ballpark, the first night we did it, it felt really weird, kind of jarring. By yesterday, it like took 2 days. I almost didn't even notice it. I asked Mike McCarthy and Mike Santini, who run our network, I said, how did it sound on TV? And they said, yesterday it sounded really good. They felt comfortable with how it felt and sounded on television. And I think a lot of it is for what goes on down on the field. I think MLB was a little nervous that dugout chatter would be heard by the other team. You know, catcher movements and things, you know, batters could hear that stuff. So I think some of it was a competitive reason, but I do think it does add to the comfort level of the viewer. And yeah, I'm fine with it. I didn't think I would be fine with it either. I was with you. But I think in the end, you know, maybe not hearing 7 F-bombs on television is probably a good thing.
In English or Spanish, a couple of weeks ago, or maybe
I'm not referring to foot fetish, by the way, when I say F-bombs.
We had Brett Jackson on the show, the former Cubs center fielder, who is a part of Cubs baseball in a way this year, because his company is going to be involved. There's an installation at Wrigley Field that's going to be tracking weather data and air effects on the baseball, and we're going to be seeing this on your broadcast. Weather applied metrics, computational fluid dynamics, using software to model how the ball is moving through the air, and we'll see how the Cubs use this data to position their defenders to throw certain pitches. I'm fascinated by it. What have you been told about it, and how is it going to be worked into the broadcast?
Here's what I've been told, and I did hear your segment last week, and I did not know that Brett Jackson was involved. I think that's really cool. Brett's a good guy, and that I'm glad to hear that. I know we're going to use it. I've seen kind of a preview screenshot of what it might look like. We are in the process of kind of tweaking the look to make it not only legible, but just, you know, typically when you have graphics or things like that in a baseball telecast, they're only on the screen for, what, 7-8 seconds at most? Mm-hmm. So the more lines and the more things you have on there, the longer it takes to kind of process it. So I think they've got it in a really good place, and what I saw looked really neat. I haven't gone beyond the surface, though, and I think over the course of the next week we will learn more about how we will use it. And I'm fascinated by it as well, like you are. I think the wind and the weather conditions in general at Wrigley Field are paramount to discuss. We talk about it when it's calm. When there's no wind, that's a story. And in terms of how it helps a team, I don't know the answer to that, but it certainly can't hurt. I know that the Cubs have tried to kind of figure out how the wind affects play at Wrigley. And the overarching theme that I've gotten over the course of time in a couple of different regimes is that if you hit line drives, if you catch the ball, right, if you do all the kind of typical cliche things that you're supposed to do to win baseball games, that's probably the best way to play at Wrigley Field. But it can't hurt to know that the ball might fly 10 extra feet if it gets a certain distance in the air. And anecdotally, it sure feels like it when the wind blows out, right?
I'm just amazed it's public domain. I mean, for this organization, for everything that they do and all the stuff they do in-house, I'm really pleasantly surprised that they decided to not make this and put this in a proprietary silo that only they have.
Well, again, I don't know how often you would see it on a broadcast, and it just may be, you know, because the wind swirls, and I think it's more about wind direction, what the true direction and velocity and all that stuff is. So, yeah, I'm as curious as you are to see kind of what information we're able to give, and any and all is a good thing.
Len, thanks. Look forward to our continued frequent conversations as we get back to baseball.
Yeah, I think we're going to do it basically once a week, and I definitely look forward to the games beginning.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Len.
See you, Dan.
Next up, Ryan Dempster is going to tell us how he feels about this. He's busy coming up. He's got Eric Burns on Off the Mound that is going to air on Marquee Sports Network tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. And then things get real crazy for his big day a week from tomorrow, a two-hour live pregame show. Then the Brewers and the Cubs at 6. He's got the